Jeff, let me tell you about this day.
Okay.
It all starts on Sunday. Try to take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hot water. No hot water coming out anywhere. Water heater's broken.
Joys of home ownership.
This is the first time. It's been, what, a year and a half? Almost 2 years. And this was the first time it's been one of those weeks where it's, yes, you know, so happy. So happy for home ownership. Yeah, so this house was built in 74. And the electrical circuits in this house are all original. The fuse panel is all original. It's an old-style fuse panel.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you that now because I'm going to get to that in a second. Anyway, no hot water. Water heater done for. Trying to find someone to come out and look at it without paying emergency rates. That was fun. But got it done. Someone came out. Says, yeah, this is gas. This is a gas water heater. And it's in a crawl space. Can't do that anymore. Can't do gas water heaters in crawl spaces anymore. So now the issue becomes we have to replace our water heater. It's just not working at all. It's 24 years old. I guess the average lifespan for those is 10 to 12 years. So it's been in here twice as long as it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's get an electric water heater. Fine, we can do an electric water heater. Oh, there's no electricity down there.
My place was built in, my condo was built in 73.
Yeah.
Original electrical boxes.
Sure.
I tried to put in, when I got mine, because my original air conditioner petered out after 40 years or so.
Yeah, okay.
I got a new one built in, decided I was going to put in one of those fancy schmancy internet thermostats. Yeah, the power will not support such a thing.
So, yes. It's troublesome. So on that note, yes, there's no electricity down there. So now, finding the electrician to come out on short notice to see what we can do about hooking up an electric water heater down there. Oh, this fuse panel is too old. It's original. There's no room for anything else on here.
So you got to get everything rewired.
And that's what's happening right now as I speak. And it's been happening since 11:30 a.m. Eastern. It is now 9:25 p.m. Eastern.
So there's a chance that the power may go out during this show.
I don't think so. The power outage happened earlier today, like between 2 and 3.
Okay.
Had no power. So I think we're out of the woods on that. But yes, yeah, so all new circuitry, all new box, all new panel, then running the electricity down. Still don't have a water heater. Won't until next week.
See, you're lucky, though. I would love to rewire this condo and get some 220 volts in here so I could get a friggin' dryer or something to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of one of these European contraptions that I have now.
Right. Would you also
HOA. I have the HOA that I have to deal with, and they say no.
I do not have that.
Stone ages.
Uh-huh. Just had to get the little permit action going. We're rewiring everything, it seems like. Just the important stuff. But also on that note, I mean, yeah, you might want to get the whole home rewired. Do you want to pay the thousands of dollars to do it?
You should.
Well, I am doing it right now.
It's because you're rolling in all that podcast money.
I had to go begging back to Mack Weldon, please sponsor us. And they said, okay, sure. I'm going to get one of those hoodies that I've been lusting after for 2 years. I'm going to get one.
Oh, one of the Joe Lanza hoodies?
I think it's too much, though. I think it's out of the budget.
It is.
Oh, well. Be on the lookout for Mack Weldon Reads, coming soon to a podcast near you. This one, actually. Jeff, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm going to go into my standard opening because I actually wrote one out.
You go into the opening right now. It is Shake Them Ropes, episode 270. Let's go.
Robin McCarron.
Should we begin with the puking or should we begin with the topics that will change the face of WWE forever?
Jeff Hawkins.
We are not here to talk about Curtis Hughes.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Nobody's listening for hockey talk.
Leo Rush is on his way to 205 Live. Ginny is WWE UK bound. Let's look at all that was great this week. Becky Lynch, Daniel Bryan on WWE.com, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, Lacey Evans, Kairi Sane, Nikki Cross, Shayna Baszler. Danny Burch, Roddy Strong, Miz, The New Day, Velveteen Dream, Ricochet, Samoa Joe, TJP, Buddy Murphy, Mustafa Ali might be the best damn thing on this roster, Carmella, Asuka, Byron Saxton, Corey Graves. Everyone on Raw is a geek, and watching that show broke my damn heart, Rob. It broke my heart. So let's all go watch that great Mid-South stuff they just uploaded, because that may be the new Shake Them Ropes Patreon-level stuff for me.
Oh, and yeah, that's all the time we have. Enjoy the night, everybody.
And oh, yeah, Rob's back. And Rob, are you rocking the red?
Am I rocking the red? What red?
The red. The Washington Capitals.
No. No.
Mike Sempervivi being a fatalist last week. They may win the cup. It's time for hockey talk, Rob. Screw your little baseball. We got basketball on the TV right now. We got hockey on tomorrow. And you got your out of shape dudes in pajamas hitting a ball.
I'm an out of shape dude hitting pajamas right now. No Shohei Ohtani going tonight. We got 35 minutes, sir, for the rest of this episode, because 10:05 p.m. Eastern, Shohei.
No.
Up against, I believe, Ian Kennedy. What a matchup.
You can matchup. DVR it. You can DVR.
Yes, I can. I can DVR that. Who knows? We may not have power anyway, so it doesn't matter.
With your new wiring.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And I can't wait. We get this. This is the prequel, basically, to the main event of getting a new water heater on Monday so that I can, you know, take a shower.
Rob, I was just so disheartened after Monday. I sat there and watched that live, and I turned it off. And I composed an email to you saying I no longer wish to do the program. And then SmackDown was a joy.
You didn't send me that, though, did you?
No. 205 Live was a joy. NXT was a joy. Oh, my goodness. I loved this SmackDown, Rob.
I'm glad.
I did. I thought that contract signing was phenomenal between Shinsuke and AJ.
Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, last man standing. Do you believe that is going to be the main event of this Money in the Bank? Yes.
No.
No. Do you think it'll be the Raw Money in the Bank title match?
I think it'll be the Money in the Bank match. Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's not a Raw match. Yeah. It's the whole WWE. You got the women's Money in the Bank. You got the men's Money in the Bank. You got AJ and Nakamura. And then the rest of the card is just, it's just single matches. Bobby Lashley, Sami Zayn, just whatever. Daniel Bryan, big cast, just whatever. Seth Rollins and Elias. I mean, I think I'll enjoy that, but it's whatever. It's singles match city, which is very strange. This is the opposite of what I thought it would be. And granted, yes, there's eight men and eight women in two of the matches.
You want to know something? It's very weird because between the NXT show and this Money in the Bank show, they have booked it to have... It has some intrigue and it has some cliffhanger aspects of it, but not a lot.
Yeah.
It seems very predictable on many, many fronts.
We'll go into this a little bit. You know, we can do the full preview next week, but we'll go into this one a little bit, this card. But before we do that, and Jeff, I have a question for you, not to delay your SmackDown love affair.
Oh, no. I'm all over the place this week.
I'm just thinking, and this I didn't want to talk about. I didn't plan on talking about it, but this is a question that I have for you, sir, as one who goes to a gym, as one who probably has showers at the gym. Yes. So right now I can't take a shower at my house unless I want to be freezing cold and die.
Okay.
So what I've been doing is going
to the gym and showering.
Going to the gym and showering and not doing anything else. Walk in, shower, change, leave. My wife does not believe that is foolish. Maybe not foolish is the word. I don't even know what the word is, but she thinks that I don't know. She's not a big fan of that. She won't go to the gym to shower. She's suffering through these cold showers. And I'm like, you could just go to the gym. Oh, but I don't want to be one of those people. One of what people? You pay for a gym membership. You can use that service just like you would use your tanning. People go in and tan and leave. Why can't you just go take a shower and leave? What are your thoughts, Jeff, on walking into the gym, showering, and leaving?
Well, here in Los Angeles, we have a lot of 24-hour gyms.
Oh, sure.
And during the time, especially I found this out when I'm on vacation, I would end up having my sleep schedule still. So I'd wake up at 2 in the morning, and I'd go to 24-hour fitness, where on the whole, anyone I'd go into, there was at least one homeless man just in there showering. So on that front, okay, fine. If I were you, or if I were your wife, I would go and I'd work out and then I'd shower. And then you don't have to play it off as anything. Because for me, I get embarrassed by things like that. I would be the kind of guy who'd go in there, shower, and go, yeah, I forgot my socks or I forgot my shoes and I didn't want to look stupid, and then leave and make that up as an excuse and then go to another branch the next day if I needed a shower, if I was doing your thing.
Okay. I mean, I'm just doing it out of necessity. Like, it's not like I would be doing that if I had a shower here.
How about you go get buff in the gym, Rob, and then take a shower?
I mean, I suppose I could do that. I suppose I could actually do other things while I'm there, but I've been, you know, going before work. I want to sleep. I don't want this to ruin my entire day. I guess
you're paying for a gym membership, yeah, and you never use it other than to shower.
All right. That might be the part that's the problem, sure.
Yes. Okay.
All right. We'll find out. Anyway, Becky Lynch, Charlotte. Becky Lynch gets a big win over Charlotte. I'm sure you were surprised a little bit by that.
And looked good doing it. Yeah. I really liked this match a lot. I liked it a lot more than some people did. I think Becky is the most underutilized talent on the main roster. She's just great. She needs this type of win. I thought the match itself started a bit rough, and then it picked up when Charlotte chopped her a few times. And then it really got going, and I really liked it. I think... You know, I would love a one-on-one Becky and Charlotte feud built the right way, quote unquote, TM Jeff Hawkins. But I wasn't surprised, because what this means is Becky's not winning Money in the Bank.
Oh, probably not.
Yeah, there's a pattern to how they build Money in the Bank matches. And I think I know who wins on one side.
You know who wins on one side. You are the one who in your open said this is kind of a predictable pay-per-view. It may be. Listen, okay, I'm going to do this. We don't have to go full preview style, but we got this card for Money in the Bank. 10 matches right now so far for Chicago. It's coming up next Sunday. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. I'm going to go up and down this card. It's so predictable. I just want.
Well, no. I'm including NXT as well.
Okay,
I'm
sure.
I'm not saying it's all completely, totally predictable.
And that's fine.
I'm saying that. Let's put it this way: the matches are not champions versus your number one contender. They're champions versus guys that got a push that had been not buried, but had been getting beaten for the most part. So you have guys on the, you know, you have your Anderson and Gallows going for the SmackDown Tag Champion. You have different matches.
Anywho, yes, I want to go up and down. Okay. And I just want the name. I don't want anything else from you. I just want one name. Okay. Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass.
Daniel Bryan.
Seth Rollins versus Elias.
Seth Rollins.
Bobby Lashley versus Zayn.
Lashley.
Harper Rowan versus Gallows Anderson.
Harper Rowan.
Reigns Mahal.
Reigns.
Carmella Asuka.
Carmella.
Jax Rousey.
Nia.
Styles Nakamura.
No contest.
No contest. That's not a name. That is not a name.
There's no winner.
Really? I mean, you keep doing that, huh?
Yeah.
Then how do you have no winner in a last man standing? They both die.
They both don't make the 10 count.
Well, and that's then it's ridiculous.
You know what? Okay, I'll give you one. Nakamura.
I believe if there's a 10 count, right? And it's last man standing. If both men.
The first one up.
That's
wins.
Right. If they get to the 10, it's whoever walks first.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be any. Oh, no winner, no contest. No, there was a contest. Someone stood. He was the last man standing.
Nakamura.
Okay. That's how it should be.
That's one I'm not sure of.
That's how it should be when I change all the rules.
Okay.
I guess, yes. You paused a little bit. Nia is going to win that match. Ronda Rousey's not going to be the champion right now.
Is that all your questions?
I just wanted to go through the names. I wanted to get your picks, if you will, but I wanted to see what the most interesting ones. I think you're pretty much right. I guess it is a predictable show across the board, but who do you...
And then on the NXT show, you have the Undisputed Era against Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan. Yeah. Look, I love both those teams. I think that match is going to be a barn burner, but I don't see Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch being the NXT tag champs.
No, not right now. I mean, you have, You have the Undisputed Era basically as the heavyweights in this division. And when I say that, I just, they're the power right now. They're going to keep all the belts.
Yeah, you have Nikki Cross and Shayna Baszler. Shayna's going to probably keep that belt. They're not going to take the belt off of her after one big title defense.
Funny you do Cole and you give him this new championship, and then the very first pay-per-view after that, there's no title defense.
Yeah, the one that's intriguing to me the most. And, you have Aleister Black and
Lars Sullivan.
And Lars Sullivan.
Yep. Superstar in the making.
Aleister Black's not losing his first title defense, I don't think. And the one that's up in the air, kind of like AJ and Nakamura to me, is Ricochet and Velveteen Dream, because either of those guys could win.
Either of them could win. And you say Ricochet has to win this match. He really doesn't. Velveteen Dream has been getting a lot of wins.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he's a superstar.
And this feud might continue.
Sure. This program may continue.
That flip out on his feet during that promo thing, that was just friggin' awesome. And the video they showed on today's NXT with Velveteen Dream basically poo-pooing anything that ever happened on Tough Enough.
Mm-hmm.
That show was so great tonight. I loved NXT tonight, and I loved 205 Live, and I loved SmackDown. And I'm going to keep saying that because it's making me avoid just how gobsmackingly stupid Raw. Rob, Baron Corbin is literally the fun police.
Yeah, I heard that.
He is Constable Baron Corbin.
Constable Corbin.
Fun police. He's the fun police.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have too much fun, things fall through the cracks.
Oh, and interrupting Taco Kurt Hawkins and Cousin Kurt doing good, trying to give cheap Mexican food to the people. And no, can't have that.
What do you make of Leo Rush coming up to 205 Live?
That is a phenomenal move.
Really, you think so?
It's mind-blowing to me. I don't mean phenomenal in terms of exciting. I mean, they took Leo Rush off TV, and I thought he was in the doghouse.
Well, not just that. They took him off TV as a jobber. I mean, the guy was a jobber on NXT television, and that's fine. Here's the thing that makes this is a new era of getting moved from NXT to somewhere, because getting up to 205 Live is no longer a call up.
Correct.
It is a lateral move. It is, yes, you're touring sometimes with the main roster, and for certain guys, it is a call up, if you will. The Brian Kendricks, I mean, you're on the main roster. The NXT champion Cedric Alexander, or the 205 Live champion Cedric Alexander, yes, you're on the main roster. This move from Leo Rush is not on the main roster. I mean, this is a lateral move. It's an upgrade for him because he goes from a roster where he's nothing to a roster where he may get some wins over Hideo Itami here. But this is the first sign, and maybe Hideo Itami was the first sign. 205 Live is not a call-up. You're not on the main roster when you move from NXT to 205 Live. You are a 205 Live middle carder when they need you. You're not a main roster. You're not on Raw. You're not on SmackDown. You're on 205 Live.
Well, let me throw in a few other things here. The new paradigm is to take you off TV and then reintroduce you on another show. Because they did that with the Iconics as well. They did that somewhat, not necessarily. Well, because
they did it with the Iconics because the Iconics had work. They were incapacitated.
They had breast augmentation surgery. How about we go with the classy version of that?
Classy would have been not mentioning it, but whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not a bad thing. It's a thing. But look, there's a few things on this that are interesting to me. Number one, to me, this indicates that Ricochet is not going to 205 Live.
Oh no.
When and if he gets called up.
No, if he does, I mean, that's a guy who could probably fit really well on SmackDown right now with the AJ Styles, the Daniel Bryans, the Andrade Almas. That's a guy who would be fitting right in on a SmackDown if he were to be called up. But I think he's going to be in NXT for a while and very well could be in one of the top matches at WrestleMania weekend, maybe for the NXT title.
Yeah, and the other thing is, number one, his promo was pretty damn good, I thought, on the 205 Live. I thought that was a nice little reboot for him. The other thing is, you know what? It's probably better this way because the people who are made stars on NXT that get brought up, all of a sudden they fall out of favor real quick. And I don't know what it is. The Authors of Pain haven't been seen in weeks after their debut and after dumping Paul Ellering. You know, you can go down the list, you know, Elias, Bailey, Sanity keeps, you know, hasn't really been seen. Anybody who is built way, way up all of a sudden goes to the main roster. And then it's like, yeah, we had an idea to call you up. And now we have no clue what to do with you.
I mean, it's really weird. In Sanity's case, they're almost too alike to the Bludgeon Brothers. I don't know why you would have them on the same show. In the Authors of Pain case, I mean, right now you're doing the Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt thing. And Authors of Pain maybe could be a step down the line for those two. We'll see if they get past the B team here, because they very well could go with the B team at Money in the Bank, for all I know.
The interesting thing also about 205 Live is it feels like there's depth, but they still don't utilize everybody well necessarily, because they now have this Lucha House Party, which is literally a party.
Yeah,
crew.
It's a collection.
You have your trio stuff. Yeah, you have your collection. You have the collection with Kendrick and Gallagher and now Gulak.
And you have to join people together because you only have 45 minutes. You have to have groups.
Buddy Murphy and Tony Nese are now a group.
Of course.
You know, and there's still not room to get everybody on every week or to tell stories that are, you know, it's still WWE style storytelling, which is just throw guys out there and say that they're in a feud. That's kind of what there is right now. So it's one of those things where they add new people. And it's like, ooh, this will add a real spark. Or it's not. It's a new guy. It's a new name to try and fit in to an hour show where they don't. I mean, look, they have, two matches a week, sometimes three. It's still a solid-ass show, and I don't need people there every week. I don't. But I need them. I need people utilized, and I need angles built every week. And then you skip and you do the other angles that weren't being built. And Mustafa Ali, that match this week against Buddy Murphy, he is on another level this year. I don't know what's gotten into him, and he's always been good, but he hasn't been this good from when I watched him. And he is something special right now.
He is certainly making the most of this opportunity that's been given to him. He is going all out on it. Now I'm going to see, we're going to see if Leo Rush does the same thing. Is Leo too immature for how young he is to be? Because, yes, granted, it's not a main roster call-up per se, but if they do put him on the road with the Raw crew, you know, the weekends, is this potential trouble for Leo?
It might be. It just, you know what? You throw the guy out there and you see what happens. Now, if it's one of those things where they beat him the first night to see how he reacts and he just mentally checks out, then it's going to be trouble. If they give him a push, that could be trouble too. I mean, he could get headstrong. He could do the whole, I mean, you remember when Sin Cara was first signed, the original one, Mystico, comes out. Oh, he's carrying himself like a star backstage, which turns out, you know, people now think he's aloof and egotistical. Mm-hmm. That you know what? It's such a mental minefield at times. You don't really know. You want to be confident. You want to have faith in your abilities and you want to go out on and do everything to pop a crowd, and sometimes they won't let you do that in a match. Look, there's a lot of hurdles here to jump. I can't really, you know, could Leo Rush get in trouble? Sure. Will he? Look, I don't, you look at past performance and you make a educated guess. Most people would say yes. I don't think so. I think, you know, having a couple of hiccups in NXT will serve him well, knowing how to traverse the politics of WWE backstage. Even though it's not the main roster, it's traveling with the main roster, so all those things count.
Alrighty. Raw, you hated.
Oh, jeez.
Tell me about your love for Sami Zayn versus Bobby Lashley.
No. This is stupid. This is stupid. What they did with Bayley and Sasha and Ember was stupid. Mm-hmm. What they did with Bobby Roode gives him absolutely no credibility. And now Braun is just kind of a comedy geek, too.
Can we talk about how Braun Strowman over the last 2 months has gone? Yeah. Top guy to, I forgot he's on the show.
Uh-huh.
How? Of all the guys on that show, this is the one that you're losing in the shuffle? How is that possible?
Because he stopped being a monster and they made him an entertainer, and then they had to figure out ways to make him entertaining. So it's kind of like he becomes like every other guy on the roster where he's doing bad comedy skits you know, really this started with bringing Nicholas into the ring with him. And that, while it was funny at the time, and it was funny for that first Raw after Mania, after that, it was kind of like, well, now we can't do anything with him because we're not going to push him to the moon against Lesnar because we've already done that. We're going to have to rehab him as a different kind of character. And now he's, you know, he's the funny giant telling stories. It's, that's how, as opposed to being the big badass who kills people. And yeah, you know, he does a feat of strength every week. You know, he cracks a ladder and makes Bobby Roode, you know, oh my God, you know, kind of thing. But you know, he you're right. He's been downgraded so much. You don't even notice him at times.
Yeah. And he's in this Money in the Bank match. And I don't know. Maybe he's the biggest candidate to win. Maybe no. Joe is the biggest candidate to win. Who do you got?
I'm down to two guys now.
Okay.
And
it's not Strowman and Joe?
No, oh. Because their move in the WWE is it's the guy, on at least one of these Money in the Banks, it's the one person who they've been making look the worst. So I'm thinking it's either going to be Miz to somehow get the belt off of AJ Styles and go against Daniel Bryan eventually for that program.
Okay.
Or I'm thinking Bobby Roode.
Ooh. Yeah,
I know that sounds ridiculous. I know that sounds ridiculous right now, but he's the guy that's been looking like an absolute clown this entire time. So their thinking is, well, who now needs the briefcase? Obviously, we need to give it to Bobby Roode now because he's the one that's been hurt the most throughout this entire build. That's my thinking here.
And if that match is on last and Bobby Roode's your winner, ugh.
Yeah, I don't think it can be on last. I'm going to renege on that because I think the AJ Styles Nakamura match is going to need time. So they're going to probably put that on last. But I you know, Braun Strowman does the viewpoint will be he doesn't need the briefcase. And if he cashes in at a certain point, it makes him look weak as a giant cashing in a briefcase to win a belt.
Either that or he could be that one guy who cashes in beforehand. Okay, we're going to do it at this paper. Yeah, I Braun Strowman winning this and then challenging Brock for SummerSlam wouldn't be the worst idea in the world.
No, you know what? It wouldn't. I don't. It would be a cool move, I think. I think, you know what? But I just don't have that on my radar right now. I don't. My problem right now is trying to figure out how they get one briefcase on each show or if they do. And I'm hesitant to. Because I think I think Natty's going to win the briefcase for the women.
Okay. Yeah.
If she's still in it, because who knows what's happening there? Because Corey Graves apparently blew the move by saying that Bayley was going to be in Money in the Bank, replacing Natty due to an injury. And since the beans were accidentally spilled, they may just decide to scrap that altogether.
Go into that a little bit more. The Bayley replacing Natalya.
I guess on SmackDown, Corey Graves accidentally said that Bayley was going to be in the Money in the Bank match.
And nothing's actually been announced for that.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Oh, way to go, Corey.
And what? That happens sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
And with WWE, you never know if someone's going to be punished for what somebody else accidentally revealed or if a plan's going to change. I mean, knowing the powers that be, they could just go, hey, you know what? Bayley's been spilled. Let's do a swerve. Let's put one of the Iconics in there and say, hey, we need to balance it out with another SmackDown lady.
Sure.
And so Bayley's put on the shelf through no fault of her own, through that terrible effing program where she comes down, tags in, and then Ember and Sasha all of a sudden turn on her and get angry at her after being so happy about a win. It's like, everything about that, everything about Nia and Ronda. Oh my God, Ronda Rousey. We already knew she wasn't a very good actress, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the weakest part of her game right now at the moment.
Because she wasn't asked to do many other movies other than that Fast and Furious thing where she played Ronda Rousey. Someone needs to tell her to play this up a bit because she's coming off as bored on commentary. And not only that, you watched Raw, did you, or did you not?
I don't watch wrestling anymore.
That's what I figured. They made her repeat the same joke twice. And it wasn't a good joke. It was some say you're ripe for the pickings. And she goes, yeah, only my husband can say I'm ripe for the pickings or something geez. Like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Said that before a commercial. Oh, she said that before a commercial break, and then coming out of the commercial, they repeated it to get her on camera.
Great.
And so Nia is now heel in the match, comes backstage, says, oh, Natty, I'm sorry for hurting you. And Ronda wants time. And Ronda's coming off as a heel, which makes no sense again, because they're kind of switching roles from week to week, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everything about this Raw show stunk.
But then Tuesday and Wednesday completely lifted you up.
Completely lifted me up. I mean, just the you didn't see the AJ Nakamura contract signing, but Nakamura playing such a troll during it. It was a backstage contract signing. So it wasn't that in the table, somebody flips a table and then it turns into a fight and a move or whatever. It was very Nikita Koloff, Magnum TA from NWA TV type of contract signing where someone does say something that sets somebody off.
Mm-hmm.
But Nakamura, AJ Styles makes his monologues have just been words that don't really amount to anything sensical. So he did one of those types of promos. And then he signs the contract, hands it over to Nakamura. Dean Malenko and Adam Pearce are also in the room as seconds, I guess.
Why not?
Nakamura looks, this pen's out of ink, throws it away. It's another pen. This pen's broken. You know, and AJ just loses it, smacks the crap out of Nakamura and loses his cool, gets taken out of the room. Nakamura just pulls a pen out of his suit pocket and just says, last man standing, signs it, laughs, walks away. It was so beautiful. It was so damn beautiful, Rob. This segment and the Daniel Bryan WWE.com promo answering Cass, where he looks into the camera and is just talking. I mean, this is the tough guy, Daniel Bryan. And it's such a great, great character. And they're not putting it on TV every week. It's killing me. Him and Samoa Joe's doing great promos.
Yep.
And Carmella is a great.
Hey, this show has all potential in the world to be fantastic for the rest of the year.
The joke was, I must be Vince took the night off.
Yeah, we just got to get through. We got to get through summer is what we got to get through on this show, because once you start hitting the winter here, you're gonna start seeing more singles matches on these shows. Stop having to build up to all these multi-man matches. It'll get good. SmackDown will get good. To update the poll, at Rob from Indiana, is it perfectly okay or embarrassing to go to the gym just to shower? Right now, 52% of the people say embarrassing.
And they're right.
This is not going super well for me. What else are you thinking about this week in WWE TV that either made you really happy or really sad?
Oh, I'm not going to say sad. Okay, I did the 205 Live thing. NXT tonight. You know what? I still don't understand why Lacey Evans is a heel. But Lacey Evans is definitely improved from the Mae Young Classic.
Mm-hmm.
She and Kairi Sane had a nice little match, I thought. Kairi's tanning, which I think makes her look far less like a child who's playing dress-up and going in there and wrestling, and more like an actual quote-unquote superstar. I thought they had a good match. You had a Shayna Baszler, Nikki Cross throwdown. And Nikki, you know, this is Nikki Cross fan central here, Shake Them Ropes, as you and I.
Yeah. It's the biggest thing I'm looking forward to next week. Honestly, Nikki Cross and Shayna Baszler. And I really hope Nikki Cross wins. I don't think it's going to happen, but her time is coming. This is the second one where it feels like her time is now.
She came in there and she didn't let up on the crazy.
No,
Shayna Baszler says, come down here, whatever. She comes in there. She goes, do it. And then she just throws down. Shayna accidentally, I guess, bites her lip during the course of this thing, so she's bleeding, which makes it look even more badass than Nikki Cross is psychotic. This thing, whew, this was.
Shayna Baszler and Nikki Cross in 1998 would have been something else. Just to remember the era, especially you give Paul Heyman and ECW Shayna Baszler and Nikki Cross. You give WWF Shayna Baszler and Nikki Cross. It would have been one hell of a thing.
No.
Absolutely. Nikki crushed it all in 1998. I'm telling you, 96 to 98, somewhere in there.
Did you see how Paul Heyman booked women?
Okay. Put him in WWF then.
Did you see Beulah versus Kimona Wanalea?
Yeah,
come on.
These are two different stars right here. These are two different stars. Put these two. Put what you know now, but put them in the era of 1998. I'm saying it could have been a big thing. Shayna Baszler could have been women's Ken Shamrock in WWF.
Yes. Well, I mean, if there were no Ronda Rousey in there, this is what Shayna Baszler would be.
Yeah.
I mean, and if she had, you know, if she had cut her MMA career a little bit shorter, who knows, you know. I don't know. I just don't know. I think right now, I think Shayna's career is because of Ronda. So you can't say that she'd be the best women's wrestler around necessarily if she had given up on MMA a little bit sooner and gone in a bit younger. That's the thing.
I would say a year ago when they were signing her, then yes, they wanted her because Ronda Rousey was coming in. They wanted Ronda Rousey. But the way they're signing, you know, they're getting ready for Mae Young Classic 2, the way they're signing a whole bunch of talents, she would have been signed even if she wasn't friends with Ronda Rousey. She probably wouldn't be signed if she was doing what she was doing on the indies and making a name for herself and not having the MMA connection. She'd still be here. So I don't think it's because of Ronda anymore. I mean, she belongs and she was doing enough to get in there. They're signing everyone. Absolutely everyone they're signing.
Yeah, the UK contracts are interesting because I guess there are certain promotions that they can wrestle for, even though they're still taking other bookings other than WWE. It's another one of those things like Pete Dunne where it's like, okay, you can wrestle over here, but when we call you, you have to come.
Yeah.
And so,
and if that's what you sign up for, that's what you sign up for.
Yeah. They signed Toni Storm, who I'm still shocked was not given a main roster contract after the Mae Young Classic. That's still one of those things where I'm just like, she fits everything they want in a superstar. And they signed Ginny, and look, I've been to the past 2 years at the Shimmer shows and the Progress shows that she's been on. She is a fantastic character. She's a posh, bitchy, fashionista type character. Take a look at her promo before she won the Progress women's title, I think it is, against Toni Storm. She has an air of menace about her promos. She's a little thin, I think, but she's not a great worker, but she's a very good worker, I think, in my opinion. I mean, she's one of the more enjoyable things about the women's division in Progress and was on the Shimmer show as well. So, I mean, I could not be happier. I think with the kind of video production that WWE does, she's the type of person who can get over hard on a show just through vignettes. I mean, she's great. She really is. I couldn't be more excited, to be honest with you.
I am glad you're excited about it. There's a lot to be excited about. Let me ask you one thing that's exciting coming up this weekend. CM Punk won in court. Does he win in the octagon this weekend?
No. That was interesting. Had a chat with Sean Ross Sapp about that last night. I did not expect him to win the case. I really didn't. I didn't think he had reached the level of professional damage to Dr. Amon, but I just thought with the amount of inconsistencies between actual testimony and the podcast, which isn't under oath. Okay, that's the other thing. It isn't under oath. I thought that there might be enough where they just go, look, we know you were possibly hurt, but you're embellishing a bit. So I thought they were going to find in favor of Amon. What I think possibly turned it was the whole story about the Royal Rumble where he had a concussion and then they eventually put him through a table. And I think that may have just gone, hey, look, they're not looking out for his safety. They did find a lump eventually on him. So he's probably telling the truth, even though he has some of his facts wrong and he might've been emotional. But sitting in a court is hard. Mm-hmm. If you've ever done jury duty, I've done depositions in court due to my job where I've had to sit in court all day and not testify. It is a slog to get through. It is physically draining at times. You're in a suit, so you're uncomfortable. You're in these wooden chairs usually, which are kind of uncomfortable I think. I didn't see the chairs they were sitting in, so don't chair Twitter can
don't
shut
don't
up.
Quote me, chair Twitter.
Yes, don't quote me, chair Twitter. But at the same time, you're trying to maintain a professional athlete type of training regimen. He's away from home base. He has the stress of this case, which is very emotional to him. And he's not a top-tier fighter. Look, he's not fighting a top-tier fighter either. So that's the one thing that works in his favor. But I don't think he wins. If he does, it's a great story. I still don't think either way he comes back to professional wrestling.
If you want to quote tweet Jeff Hawkins, he's at crapgame13. Jeff, got to go. It's Shohei time.